It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Good morning, Jacinda. How are you?
Morena. I wouldn't mind a little background music for our interviews if you wanted.
Oh, okay. All right, all right. What about should I play Rackets now?
Oh, that would be quite hard to talk over that.
It would be, wouldn't it? Okay, well, I'll ponder that. Just one day it might be something like inappropriate, you know, it might be something like we could be talking about something really sad.
New Zealand Music Month, it just seemed like a special exception.
Well, don't worry, I'm going to play your request after this.
Thank you.
I can't, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a Prime Minister who requested Rackets, the band Rackets. After our discussion, I think that's fantastic. Hey, we will start with something a little bit heavy. There was a story that the Herald produced last week talking about how thousands of rape cases over a 20-year period have been wrong, somehow wrongly coded, and continued to happen over years and years and years.
Yeah.
And which basically told a whole lot of victims that they either made it up or nothing was going to happen or wouldn't go to court, and obviously a lot of people who committed these crimes got away scot-free.
And unfortunately, you know, this just adds to what are already staggering statistics around unresolved sexual assault cases. So it compounds something that we already know to be a problem. There was at that time what was used was a code which they call the K3, which basically means no offence recorded. So you're right, we were under-reporting these sexual assaults. So I'm told now that in most cases now that will not be used. That has been scrapped. But either way,
it's a massive oversight by our police, though, isn't it? Massive. At a whole bunch of levels, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And as I say, it actually just feeds what we already know to be true, which is we have a high level of first of all, we have under-reporting because people think nothing will happen, and this certainly doesn't help with that perception.
Yeah.
But we also have really low resolution rates. And it's one of the reasons I think we need to look at the way, there's been talk about this before, look at the way that we deal with sexual assault in our criminal justice system.
Are the actual police that are doing the work not up to spec as well? Because it seems like that's something you need to know. That's not getting the order wrong at McDonald's. You know, that's something that you should know.
It's hard for me to know what's happened in order for that to be thought of as the best option for recording, because they do have this other code, K6, offence reported. So even, there's a view from a Crown prosecutor that they can't pursue the case for whatever reason, it should not be recorded in the way that it had been, because there were other options.
These are all historical, but some are fairly recent. But you know, surely someone's got to lose their job. Surely, because that's someone's responsibility. Somewhere at some level in the police, someone's going to lose their job. And when we're in a situation where, I know that the other day, someone from the government was saying that they're keen to get 1,800 police on the beat by next year. And, you know, if we're so keen to round up new police the whole time, we've got to make sure that we get the right ones, don't we?
That is true, which is why we're not doing it all in one year, that you can't do that number in a year. And we do want to make sure that we have, you know, that we are recruiting people who have those values around community and preventative policing. In terms of who individually is responsible, these would have been coded in individual, in individual stations across, you know, potentially, I would have thought, across the country. It strikes me that there's been some poor guidance given. That's what I'm assuming. I would need to know a little bit more about that process before I jump to that conclusion, though.
Speaking of a little bit more about the process, what's happening with the banks? What's happening over in Australia? There's all sorts of unholy foundation shaking going on, and some really stinky facts being uncovered. Are we going to find the same? Are we going to put the spotlight on the banks locally in New Zealand as well, considering half of them are Australian?
Yeah, exactly. And so that should give us cause to look a little deeper. The Financial Markets Authority and the Reserve Bank spoke to the heads of banks on, I think it was Monday, just gone, in wake of some of the revelations that are coming forward. And they've given them really a time frame to demonstrate to us that consumers can have confidence in them, and that we wouldn't necessarily see the same issues here. So they're going to have to prove that, and they've been given until the 18th of May to do that.
That's not a massive window, is it, for them to sort of shuffle things up?
Or you either know that you're either behaving appropriately or you're not.
Yeah.
So Reserve Bank's going to wait and get that information, and then, you know, we'll see what the lay of the land is here in New Zealand. You know, we've certainly had assurances that we... that we don't need to have those same concerns, but now it's about demonstrating that.
Well, yes, I mean, internationally, we've seen the banks lie.
But, I think, you've got to think about where consumer confidence is at the moment. When you hear some of the discussions going around our banking sector, but also our fuel sector, you know, I think it is really incumbent on these operators to come forward and demonstrate to consumers that they can have a little faith, because there's some evidence that's the contrary to that at the moment.
Are you sort of receiving smiles through gritted teeth from the petrochemical industries at the moment about that?
Well, did you know, actually, around retail fuel, that's something that our ministers met directly with them.
Oh, yes. We can't wait to help you out, Prime Minister. it would be our pleasure.
So I haven't had those direct conversations with them. Our minister certainly has, and she wants to do quite a bit more work on this. I think I might have mentioned to you, at the moment, the Commerce Commission doesn't have the power to go in and undertake market studies on what's happening with fuel pricing. So we're changing the law so they can.
If you cruise through the business section of the Herald sometimes, a couple of years ago, there was a little announcement there from one of the petrol companies sort of saying, stocks, prices have to go up because of something. It was when the Gulf of Mexico thing happened.
Mm.
Yeah, and we don't even get petrol from there or oil from there.
But
our petrol went up like the next day, bump, it never goes
down. And that's the thing, you know, most often you'll hear them say, well, actually the reasons that we change prices are exchange rates, oil supply issues, maybe the geographic isolation of a station. But when you see what was happening in Otaki and Paraparaumu, none of that applied. It was just an arbitrary increase.
Yeah. Prime Minister, any famous world leaders for you to meet left? You've just nailed them, everyone about the last couple of months. Hillary Clinton, how was Hillary? Nice to meet Hillary.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, anyone who runs for office at that level, when you're in politics, you just want to hear about someone's relative experience, and regardless of political persuasion, it was a really interesting conversation.
Just show,
it's,
I mean,
it's a nice person to talk to. That's
the power of America, too. I mean, I bet you're sitting there in Spark Arena watching an American politician who didn't win selling out Spark Arena, or help. I don't know if she sold it out, but you know, thousands and thousands of people just there. And I bet there's been times when you've been on the campaign trail, or when you've been trying to rustle up a whole bunch of people for a talk, and the numbers can be a bit low in New Zealand.
I would really struggle to fill Spark Arena. But look, I think, you know, it's great that people have an interest in what's happening, that what's happening in international politics. We need to be interested, because increasingly, what's happening with elections in countries like the United States do have an impact on us. They do. And we're perhaps as mindful as anyone, being a smaller nation, of the relative impact. So that's increasing. What's happening in, you know, what happens in China, what happens in Russia, all of that has an impact. So we should take an interest. I'm glad there was that turnout.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, thank you very much for talking to us. We'll speak to you again this time next week, and I'll play your request now, Wash My Brain Out by Rackets. Thanks, Prime Minister.
Happy New Zealand Music Month.
Woohoo!
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.